Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
But I don't want to be too specific about translations. Some of them are getting way off, and we don't want to follow those that are headed in the wrong direction. It always happens once changes are being made. So for clarification, we'll mention some translations, but I'm not going to even deal with them very much because there's a lot of liberties being taken with God's Word, not only in the writing of the rewriting of the book, but in the way that it is brought forth in through the church and through leadership in churches. There are literally pages of the Bible that are being destroyed in order to be politically correct and socially acceptable in our society. And you can't do that to God's Word. It doesn't mean you can't do it. It means you can't do it without God's judgment coming. And some of the harshest judgments in the entire Bible are upon those that add to or take from the Word of God. So I'm not at liberty or privilege here to say anything today that may be more acceptable in our social environment or political environment of the 21st century. I'm not allowed or permitted to stand behind the sacred desk with this book. Amen. If I've got some book I wrote or somebody else wrote or some edited version, then that's different. But I can't say anything but what is in this book. And a lot of times people are kind of taken back because, you know, I just seem to be such a nice, easygoing guy, and I go along with a lot of things just to keep the peace until it comes to God's Word, and that's where I draw the lines. And my personal convictions, that's where I draw the lines. And when someone says something incorrect, biblically or scripturally at work, and then they say, well, now what do you think about that? And I say, well, it's not what I think, it's what God says. Because I want it off of me, and I want it in God's department. You're not going to answer to me at the final judgment. Aren't you glad for that? A better judge than me is going to take care of that. And you're not going to answer to the Pope at Rome, and you're not going to answer to the Southern Baptist Convention. Can you say amen? You're not going to answer to Billy Graham, and he'd be the first to tell you he's not the judge. There is a judge, and you'll find him in the book of Revelation. Amen. When John saw him, he was coming to judge the earth. He wasn't coming as Savior. He was coming as King and Judge. And all judgment, the Scripture said, has been committed to the Son. And John saw him, amen, and his hair was as wool. You won't see that here in America, but if you go to Europe and some of the courts, the judges that sit in the high court will put on the wigs that represent wisdom and knowledge and experience, that they are capable of judging correctly. Amen. And his hair was white as wool, his feet as burnished brass, his eyes were as a flame of fire, because he's coming to execute righteous judgment. Amen. Listen, we don't want to meet Jesus as our judge. We want to meet him as our Savior. Can you say amen? But judgment is surely coming. Now, I want to talk about the virgin birth, the sacrificial death, the bodily resurrection, and the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Can you say amen? I want to talk about the rescue mission that did not fail. Anyone that may have heard of Black Hawk Down, a movie that came out of... It was very realistic. I remember when it happened, when we went on a rescue mission in Mogadishu to get some of our men out in a kidnap mission, actually that went awry. We lost precious soldiers in that rescue mission because the rescue mission failed. Do you realize there's actually a cult that is growing? Nung Sung Moon, I believe it is, the Moonies, where his teaching is that he is the second Messiah, if you please, fulfilling the scripture that in the last days many false Christ will come. And when they say, lo, he is here, lo, he is there, go not after them. He literally said that Jesus failed in his mission to rescue the fallen world. And Jesus' death on the cross was a miserable failure. And here this guy pops up. And, of course, he hasn't died on a cross and been raised from the dead. Can you say amen? But he's accusing Christ of not fulfilling, and God sent Jesus, but the devil somehow overwhelmed him and man killed him. But now the true Messiah, who's going to bring the true redemption to the world has come. And he's a Korean, used to be an ex-Korean arms maker and businessman that now is a guru of a false faith. And yet, you know, the amazing thing is the deceptive power of the enemy. When we think about someone making a statement that asinine and that extreme, it just takes us back. How can intelligent people? But these are not nutcases that are following him. These are deceived people with intelligence. Amazing thing about deception, Satan is good at it. And his target is the mind. And the intellect is no defense against spiritual deception. It's not about your IQ. These are not a bunch of people that flunked out in first grade and don't know any better. These are not idiots or imbeciles. These are business people. These are college graduates that follow these folks. It's an incredible thing. Amen? Deception. But it's a sign of our time, and it's powerful. And that's why we need the guiding light of the Word of God. What did the Scripture say about the Word in the book of Psalms? It said, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." Hallelujah. Isn't it great what God's Word can do to illuminate? Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about a rescue mission that worked. The one in Mogadishu failed, and it failed miserably. We lost precious soldiers, and we failed in our mission. And in a couple of weeks, they called the whole thing off, and those people literally died in vain. But let me tell you, someone who did not die in vain. Jesus didn't die in vain. When he died on the cross and said, "It is finished," he said one word in the Greek that meant that it's accomplished to the farthest degree. Nothing more can be added to what he has done. We're not in a battle with the devil that we need to somehow defeat him. His defeat was accomplished once and for all at Calvary. And we're not out here trying to defeat the devil. We're out here living a life that demonstrates that a victory has already been won. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's what living victoriously is all about. And how many's ever read the scripture in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10? Says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Literally, the strategies of deceit, this deceptive force. Amen. "Having done all, stand." Amen. But the actual Greek doesn't say "having done all," as if you put on the armor so you can do something. Amen. You're putting on the armor so you can demonstrate that something's already been done. You didn't hear me. So that you can demonstrate that something has already been done. That a victory has already been won. You don't go out to win it. You go out to inform the enemy that you know what he is really aware of. That he took a crushing blow to the head when Jesus gave up the ghost on Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. And when he rose from the dead. So here's how it is. It comes out in the Greek. If you were hearing it in the actual language translated from the Greek, it would say, "having," where it says, "having done all, stand." It literally reads and should read, "having overcome all, stand." Amen? Stand in what? Stand in the reality that through Christ we have overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Is there a battle to fight? Sure. But it's a battle that we know is won through Jesus Christ. Not a battle that we're trying to win. Fanny Crosby wrote the great evangelistic hymn, "Rescue the Perishing." I like that song. I think the Salvation Army made it kind of a theme song for evangelism. It says, "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, mighty to save." Everybody say, "mighty to save." Rescue means to free from confinement, danger, or evil. To save, to deliver, as a prisoner forcibly taken from custody. Isn't that good? Amen. It's akin to the word ransom because it rescues. Jesus is, how many has ever heard about being saved? or save or salvation in Scripture. That's what the whole book is about. Amen. Is a born to you this day in the city of David is a what? A Savior. And that's the little Greek word sozo. And it means to heal, to deliver, to set free, to make whole, to loose a captive. Can you say amen? To loose a prisoner from the prison house. You that are caught in the prison house of sin, Christ came with an express mission. You talk about a commando mission. Amen. There was a commando mission, but it was just one. It wasn't a whole troop. It was just one. Amen. Unto you, this day, in the city of David. Amen. A man is born to you. He's here on a rescue mission. Can you say amen? His name is Jesus, and he will save, rescue his people from their sins. Hallelujah. I'm going to read from Galatians 1, 3 through 5. It says, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. He's greeting them. He's opening his letter. And he says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I'm going to read from a translation, and listen to this. So I greet you with these great words, grace and peace. We know the meaning of those words because Jesus Christ rescued us from this evil world that we were in by offering himself a sacrifice for our sins. God's plan is that we all experience that rescue. Can you say amen? Glory to God forever. Oh, yes, amen. I like that. Christ came to this world as a Savior for all who put their trust in him. He was truly sent on a rescue mission. How many know you didn't choose him? You didn't find him. You didn't just discover him. He sought you. He came expressly to illuminate you. When it says he's anointed to open the eyes of the blind, don't put that in the category of blind Bartimaeus. That's the healing of the physical body. Jesus' anointing is plentiful to heal the physical body. But what he did, amen, well, his mission to this earth was not just to get sick people healed. It's not that kind of blindness. The God of this world has blinded the minds of men, and Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind, those that were under that deception. Don't think of blind Bartimaeus when you think of his anointing. Think of all those that are in the darkness of deception and the depravity of sin. And the Bible said, the people that sat in darkness, a great light has shined. Hallelujah. And the Scripture speaks of you and I that after you were illuminated. Did you say, man, after you were illuminated? After you were illuminated. How many believe that Jesus is Lord today? That he is the Savior, the Messiah. And flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you. Even though someone of flesh and blood may have preached that message, it wasn't that person that illuminated you. It was the work of the Holy Spirit himself. Oh, by the way, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. I mean, it stirred the devil up because now you are out of his prison house. You don't belong to him. You're not under his jurisdiction. Hallelujah. You've been set free by the one who came to rescue you, and it upsets him. And all hell breaks loose against you. But all heaven has broken loose for you, so it really doesn't matter. Did you say amen? Heaven or hell has never been the same since he came. Can you say amen? I said heaven nor hell has ever been the same since Jesus came. Amen. Angels desire to look in to the great salvation that we have experienced. They stand in awe of what Christ has done for fallen man. Demons tremble at the very sound of his name. Can you say, heaven nor hell, hallelujah, has never been the same since Jesus came. And lives are not the same that Jesus rescues. Because he doesn't fail in his mission. If there's a failure out there, amen, if someone claims a salvation experience and there's no victory, no change, nothing has changed, the bondage stays, the same attitudes, the values don't change, they stay under Satan's dominion. The scripture says, don't you believe for 1 minute they were ever truly rescued. He that committeth sin or lives habitually in it is of the devil. You can't claim God's mighty salvation experience and live in total, complete bondage by the enemy. That is not the truth. Jesus did not fail in his mission to rescue the perishing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let everyone that's been saved shout amen this morning. Jesus is a mighty Savior. One who cannot be conquered. No angel in heaven outranks him, and no demon in hell can oppose him. If you're unsaved and hear this message, I want you to know that Christ, what Christ can do for you. If you are saved, I want you to know what he has done for you and what he is doing right now to complete his mission. You know, the Bible said that he that begun a good work in you will perform it. How long? Amen. Until you get a little discouraged and the world overwhelms you. No, he said he that begun a good work in you is going to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The gospel is such good news it can seem to be too good to be true. One young man, a son of a great theologian, said, Dad, it just seems too good to be true. And he looked at him and he said, Son, it's too good not to be true. In the early days of the war with Iraq, the rescue of Jessica Lynch became the greatest morale booster of our fighting men and our nation. You know, when people are taken captive by an enemy and you sit and you say the enemy is prevailing and you get that sinking feeling that we're at the total mercy of our troops at the hands of a diabolical enemy, and we shudder to think what they would do to a young, attractive woman that was captured in a convoy. Remember the story of Jessica Lynch in the early days. Wasn't it because it was a successful rescue? I want to read an eyewitness account, okay? Jessica Lynch, a U.S. soldier, called out. Jessica Lynch, a U.S. soldier, called out. That's when they burst in. We are United States soldiers, and we're here to protect you and take you home. Everybody say a rescue mission. On her hospital bed, PFC Jessica Lynch remained still with her bed sheet pulled over her head in fear. She didn't respond. What were these words? Could it actually be true, or was this more cruel torture dreamed up by her captors to build her hopes and then dash them? Psychological warfare. The soldier stepped into the room, removed his helmet, repeated his words, Jessica Lynch. We are United States soldiers, and we're here to protect you and take you home. Boy, I felt God when I read that. He didn't just come to forgive your sins and leave you on your own. He came to rescue you, to protect you, and to take you home. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So it was true. Jessica peered out from the sheet. I'm an American soldier too, she replied. Lynch, who had been held since a week earlier when her unit was ambushed, suffered a head wound, an injury to her spine, fractures to her ribs, her arm, both legs, her right foot and ankle. The rescuers quickly evaluated her medical condition, secured her to a stretcher, and took her to a waiting helicopter and flew her to safety. Amen. Jesus came to set the captive free. I said, Jesus came to set the captive free. I want to get bold in the proclamation of the gospel. I want to get bold in the prayers of intercession. Amen. This is a mighty gospel, and this is a mighty Savior, and this is a mighty salvation. Hallelujah. I want to read it. The prophetic words from Isaiah chapter 61 of a Messiah on a rescue mission. Will you hear it this morning? Isaiah 61, 1, 2, 3 is about Jesus and no one else. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Everybody say a rescue mission. to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's when slaves were set free. Can you say amen? And the day of vengeance of our God. And to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called the trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. That He might be glorified. Can you say amen? Woo! Jesus quoted this portion of Scripture in the New Testament when He began His public ministry. Amen. At 30 years of age, he was literally, the Scripture says, driven by the Holy Ghost into the desert to be tempted of the devil. He completely overcame the devil in the wilderness and walked straight from that 40 days of fasting and that time of testing to the temple. He opened up the book and he opened it to the book of Isaiah. A Jewish man had to be 30 years old before he could read the Holy Writ. And he was 30 and he opened it up and he began his public ministry this way. And I'm going to read it from Luke 4, 17 through 21. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Esaias, it says, it's the same as Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Woo! Somebody say, "Jesus is Lord." Hallelujah. Jesus wasn't just a good man or even a great prophet. He wasn't just a good man with good intentions. He was and is very God. And He has power to save. Everybody say, "He's got power to save." I'm going to read from Matthew 8, 23 through 27 and show you that He was no just a, you know, there's so many doctrines out there that make Jesus less than God. And if He's less than God, He's not the Messiah. And He's not the Christ of Scripture. If He isn't God, He isn't the Christ of Scripture. If He's a great man, a good man, the world is more, it's more palatable to them to accept Him as a great prophet. As a matter of fact, even in Islam, they say Jesus was a great prophet. Well, if He's a great prophet, then He sure did put down everybody else. You ought to listen to Him. Said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Any man that tries to climb up another way is a thief and a robber." So He can't just be a good man. He can't be categorized with Buddha and Muhammad. Can you say amen? He was God. Emmanuel is not God, God's man with us, but God with us in the form of man. Matthew 8, 23 through 27 said, "And when He entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. And His disciples came unto Him and awoke Him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we perish.'" Everybody say, "Rescue." "And He said unto them, 'Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?' Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm." In the actual Greek it says, "And immediately there was a great calm." And it goes even further. It said the sea became as glass. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. Listen, this wasn't just the cessation of winds. Because if the winds ceased immediately, the waves would take a while to calm down. But this was wind and wave obeying the voice of this guy sleeping in the ship. But the men marveled. Everybody say, their jaws dropped in awe. Saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" Not like any other man that's ever walked this planet. It's a God man. The Amplified New Testament says the men were stunned with bewilderment and wonder. Can you say, isn't that incredible? They were stunned with bewilderment and wonder. One translates, the wind and sea came to heal at his command. Like they tell a dog, heal, and the dog does that. The storm and the stormy sea did the same thing at the voice of the Creator. The sea became smooth as glass. And the men were stunned with bewilderment and wonder. Are you ready for jaw-dropping services? Where the saving, delivering power of the risen Christ is present. Where Satan's strongholds are crushed like paper in the presence of the Holy One. Where the Holy Spirit bears witness that Jesus is Lord and He is all-powerful. And that He's here right now, mighty to save and to deliver, to heal and to set free. There's got to be more to church in this kind of presence than just theological head knowledge. We don't just need another theology course on the Lordship of Jesus. We need a Savior that is mighty to save, a deliverer. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not just correct theology, it's powerful unto salvation. The gospel has in it, intrinsic to it, a mighty power. It is not a head trip. It's a life-changing, powerful, delivering force. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 said, for our gospel came not to you in word only. See, that's what most churches are living at, that level. Amen. We got the Bible. We don't need the God of the Bible. We got the Bible. We don't need the power of His presence. We got the Bible. We don't need the intimacy and the fellowship that we can have through the Holy Spirit. We got the Bible. We don't need the miracles until you go to build a building in that same church. And then they ask God to work a miracle of supply so that we can put on the roof and finish the interior in our new sanctuary. We're believing God for a miracle offering this Sunday. That God is going to miraculously meet our need. But don't you dare ask for prayer for your body. Let me tell you something today. Amen. God doesn't dwell in the building. That is not His temple. You and I are His temple. Can you say amen? If God can work miracles to provide brick and mortar, God can work miracles in your body and mine. Somebody say glory. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Didn't Paul talk about that? I did not come to you preaching the gospel with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of Spirit and of power, that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. There's got to be something more that attends the preaching of the word than just theological intelligence. There's a God that is real. There's a God that reacts. There's a God that responds to us when we call His name. That your faith wouldn't stand in the wisdom of men and their theology, even though correct, but in the power of a God who is present to save and to heal and to set free. Hallelujah. Paul said, I won't preach just the knowledge of this truth. But God's going to show up here. God's going to move here. God's going to change lives. God's going to set people free from the prison houses. Satan's not afraid of dead letter preaching. The letter itself, in and of itself, killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. For our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power. And in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Can you say amen? The Amplified New Testament says not only in word, but in its own inherent power. One paraphrase reads, when the message we preach came to you, it wasn't just words. Something happened in you. Remember when Peter was preaching? And the Bible said while he preached on the day of Pentecost, their heart was pricked. Woo! Listen, folks, that's something no man's beautiful words or eloquence can accomplish. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost Himself. We got too many ministers so good at it. We don't pray that the Holy Ghost will come and take the Word and touch hearts and lives and change lives with it. And what we need back in the church, amen, is not just a blessing from the Holy Ghost, but this mighty, confirming, hallelujah, power of God to confirm the Word, hallelujah. And when you think about the signs following, don't just think about the lame walking and the deaf hearing and the dumb talking. Think about drug addicts being set free from addiction. Think about the pimp and the prostitute being changed. Think about lives that were destined for hell now changed in their route and headed for heaven because the chains are broken. Think about a man on a rescue mission that did not fail his mission. Whosoever will, let him come, because no prison can hold you in His presence. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life freely, because nothing can hold you back but your own will. Devils can't and angels won't. There's no barrier between you and God but your own will. If you love darkness more than light, you can never be free. But if you ever want to walk in the light, nothing can hold you back. God is not impotent. He's mighty to save. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. One writer commented, the church is weak and anemic because it lives below its privilege of power. When the message we preached came to you, this one translator said, it wasn't just words, something happened in you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, convinced you absolutely of the reality and truth of the gospel. God has always confirmed His Word with power. God has always distinguished Himself from man-made gods or demon-impersonated gods by His manifest power. Remember the story of Elijah? Let the God who answers by fire be God. Can you say amen? There's a false prophet going to come and call fire down out of heaven trying to mimic that, but that is because people have been given over. God permits that deception. People that have rejected light, He says, go ahead in the lie. Amen. But on that day, He said, no demon's going to step forth and impersonate me here today. Demon powers were absolutely stymied while God sent fire from heaven. Amen. But that distinguished Him from the gods that were being represented there. It was a battle of the gods and the true God. Amen. And God invites those kind of power encounters. Can you say amen? God delights in proving Himself to be the true and the living God. Not as a sign to the unbeliever, but as signs that follow the believer. If you lose the power of the gospel, then you're impotent in your witness. No one's going to believe your God. He's just like all the rest of them. Benign, impotent, a fabrication of your own need for some kind of placebo spiritually, some kind of crutch to lean upon instead of a reality. And God wants to show His reality. He wants to distinguish Himself from Allah, distinguish Himself from Buddha. Hello? And how was He distinguished? With great power gave the apostles resurrection, a witness of the resurrection. It wasn't a pilgrimage to an empty tomb. It was the power of God that caused that lame man to run and leap and praise God. And they said, by what authority did you do this? They said, the Jesus that you put on the tree, who God has raised from the dead. Through His name, this man has his perfect soundness before you all. Woo! Somebody give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah! You don't convince a gainsaying world by showing them what may or may not be. The hole in the ground, or the hole in the wall where the stone was rolled away. It's not the empty tomb that is so convincing. What's convincing is when power is present where Christ is preached. Wow. With great power. Come on, they didn't say, hey, tomb's empty, come and see. Because they'd already put out a rumor. And what was the rumor? And they told it for truth, that the disciples came in the night and stole away His body. And it was believable because they didn't want to believe on Him. That's a believable lie. It was even hard for Thomas to believe the truth when he looked at him. I mean, I'm looking at, I can't. And if you saw him take him down, and you saw him die like any other mortal human in your view on the cross, he didn't look like God when he came off that cross. He looked like a man totally subdued by an enemy, totally destroyed by an enemy, devastated, decimated by an enemy. Amen. But when he rose on the third day in all of his glory, it was hard to accept even for the people that looked upon him. Can you say amen? But what was it wasn't just that day seeing him personally. It was the ongoing attendance of power with the gospel to change lives and to set people free that gave credence and evidence of his resurrection. And with what? Great power. 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 Acts chapter 4, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By what authority did you do these things? The Jesus, Peter said, that you hung on the tree that God has raised from the dead through his name and faith in his name. This man has his soundness before you all. God has always distinguished himself from man-made gods or demon-impersonated gods by his manifest power. God confirmed his son with powerful signs, not the least of which was the resurrection itself. Can you say amen? That's what sets Jesus apart, is the resurrection. Every other man-made god or leader of a religion is dead. Muhammad, take the pilgrimage to Mecca, and the bones of Muhammad are laying in state. Go to the river Ganges, and they consider it a holy place, and secretly and illegally, some still offer their children so their crops will be good and their life will change. They offer their children a sacrifice, and the Ganges River, they throw a baby into the river and let it drown as an offering to Buddha, whose ashes were supposed to be sprinkled into the river. Amen. So go to the Ganges and you can stand by a river that has carried away the ashes of Buddha. Go to Mecca and you can see where the grave of the mighty Muhammad is. Amen. So-called mighty. But go to Jerusalem and you will not find a tomb and you will not find a river with ashes in it. You will find no evidence of Jesus, for God has raised him from the dead. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And forget the stupid Da Vinci Code and all the rest of the speculations of men. This is total untruth. Amen. Man wants to believe a lie because he can't handle the truth. Because handling the truth means he needs to bow to the one true God and accept his Son as their Savior. And there is but one true God. And there's only one Son. He's called the unique, only begotten of the Father. Hallelujah. And God has given him a name. God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name that is named, of things in heaven and of things in earth and of things beneath the earth, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Hallelujah. This is not a lightweight gospel we preach. This is not an impotent gospel we preach. This is not a benign Christ that we serve. Acts 2:22 says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs." How did he convince John that he was the true Messiah when doubt crept into John's heart after baptizing him and declaring him to be the Messiah? Heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Saw the dove come and rest on him. And yet John said, "This, what I have announced is so stupendous, so earth-shattering, of such cosmic value to the universe and the earth. I can't miss this." And while he mused on these things, amen, and he sent a servant while he was in prison awaiting to die. He sent a servant and said, "Go and ask him. Ask him directly. Look him in the eye and said, 'Are you he? Or should we look for another?'" Amen. And the servant come running back and said, "I looked him in the eye and this is what he said to tell you. Tell him the blind see. The lame walk, the deaf hear, and he'll know it is I." Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this place. This gospel did not come in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance. The name of Jesus is mighty in battle, mighty to deliver, mighty to save, mighty to heal, mighty to set free, mighty in prayer, mighty in praise. I like Edward Perronet. He wrote this song in the 1700s, and it's called All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Who's ever heard that? All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. You ought to get this tape just because of my singing. No, get this tape because we hail the power of Jesus' name in this place. We're not here to sell you a product, but to tell you about a great King and Deliverer who came to this earth on a rescue mission and is happy to report to the Father, mission accomplished. Can you say, man, whosoever will on this planet, let him come, because hell can't stop you. Your habits can't stop you. Your background, your culture, your weaknesses and your sins can't hold you back if you will but come to Him. I'm going to read the verses you didn't hear. Verse 2 says, crown Him, you martyrs of our God, who from His altar call, extol the stem of Jesse's rod and crown Him Lord of all. Ye seed of Israel's chosen race, you ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saves you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all. This is wrote in the 1700s. What a revelation of Him. Hail Him, ye heirs of David's line, whom David Lord did call, the God incarnate, man divine, and crown Him Lord of all. Sinners whose love can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall, go spread your trophies at His feet and crown Him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to Him all majesty ascribe and crown Him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at His feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise today. Hallelujah. I don't know what kind of prison house you may be in or what kind of chains hold you captive. I don't know what forces of darkness or minions of hell are standing between you and your freedom. I do know this, they're no match for the mighty one of Israel. No match for the risen Lamb. The Deliverer has come. It's time to rise up and go free. Don't hide under the sheet of doubt. Don't hide under the sheet of unbelief. Don't hide under the sheet of fear. This is for real and this is forever. It doesn't matter if you're gay or straight. God can deliver you. It doesn't matter if you're an addict or an alcoholic. God will set you free. It doesn't matter the depth of your depravity. No, the deepness of the stain of your sin. Jesus' blood was shed to rescue and ransom you. You can be saved. You can be delivered. You can be set free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now that's the kind of bold preaching God can confirm with signs following. I'm going to read this in closing. Did I give you a tape? Number 9, I think we're going to do. This is a true testimony, and it's coming out of where the tsunami hit area. He said, I'm Indonesian by nationality and Indian by race. I come from a strong Hindu family. Since young, my parents taught me to pray to Lord Shiva, a Hindu god, and other Hindu gods, as we were told that each god had its own purpose. We maintained strict vegetarian meal as part of our belief. At age of 17, my friend brought me to a temple named Sri Anandpur, which is in India and branches all over the world. There they believed in a living master, something like Buddhism, and believed in meditation upon a word, Nam, which was upon initiation into discipleship. I began to have faith in the living master, and I got initiation and started meditation. Every day I used to meditate 3 hours. In my meditation, I could see so much light. I could also hear things, and I had full faith that I obtained salvation enlightenment, nirvana. My knowledge in Hindu faith became deeper and deeper as I read the Bhagavad Gita, holy book of Hindus, and Adi Granth and many other books about ancient Vedas. To make long story short, I became so religious like other members of my family, and we were basically a religious family. At age of 21, I told my parents I would go for sannyasi life, in effect, full-time devotion to the living master in India. You know, one thing that impresses me while we hear of false gods and deceive people is their commitment and their devotion and their dedication to these false gods. And to look at the Christian community that worships the one true and living God. And folks, I believe we need to do as much for the truth as they are willing to do for the lie. How many believe we need to do better in terms of our devotion to the true and the living God? There shouldn't be a hook to get you back to church. A cross should bring you back. And the reality of who He is should bring you back. After coming back from India, I was disappointed. I was appointed, rather, as a preacher in the Hindu temple. Around 5 months back, some people from local Indian church visited our house. I used to hate Christians because I knew that they never respected other people's religion. So when I just paid respect to the devotion, but not to the God who is no God. Listen. So when they came, I was so uneasy and a little angry. There was a pastor among them, and he started sharing about Jesus Christ to me. See, you don't have to undo all of the other. Just proclaim this truth. God, the Holy Spirit, does the rest. You don't have to try to undo and dismantle Hinduism. I don't know enough about it to dismantle it. I wouldn't know where the nuts and bolts are to pull it apart. So I don't try to dismantle, amen, some of these other religions. I just try to proclaim the truth. And the truth itself will shake the nuts and bolts out of the false gods, and they'll fall apart. If a heart opens, this truth will come in and enlighten it. He knew I preached in Hindu temple, and he had guts to speak to me about Christ. I like that. We need some preachers with guts to speak about Christ. Hallelujah. I used all my knowledge to argue with him. He told me meditation is not prayer. He told me salvation cannot be earned. It's a free gift. He told me that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You think you could do that? You could tell him? Amen. That's all he told him. He didn't try to dismantle what he believed. He just said, this is it. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. I was so angry at him. But using my knowledge, I was able to turn and twist his arguments. But he defeated me when he told me to tell him any religious figure who has ever died for mankind's sins and raised back from death. See, God distinguished himself and distinguished his son and wants to distinguish his church. Hallelujah. He also shocked me when he told me that God comes not for righteous people, religious people, but those who are willing to accept him, that they are sinners. He told me Christianity is not a religion, which I never knew. He said it was a relationship. He left my home, keeping me in dilemma, made me not sure of my salvation. He had given me a Bible, which I reluctantly accepted, and I began to read Bible. So next time I meet Pastor, I'll tell him about all mistakes I'm going to find in Bible. Night after night, I read Bible. I remember the day so well. It was Sunday, and I was standing in front of 200 people in my Hindu temple, just going to begin to preach about meditation and living master, when my mouth just wouldn't open. I was so scared. I just couldn't open my mouth. My eyes were suddenly full of tears of fear. Suddenly, pastor words came playing in my mind. God is a living God. He can listen and can speak to you. And that very moment, I was terrified when I heard a voice out of nowhere. You ready for this? If you want to preach, preach about my only son that I gave up for you. So clear I heard, just like a real person speaking. But no one was there, and I don't know who took over me. What took over me? I held up the microphone closer. The words came out of my mouth, "Brother and sister, today I will speak about God, the Creator of heaven and earth, and His only begotten Son that He gave up for us." The gospel did not come in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. That's how we need it preached today. In the face of such deception and so many different religious views, we need to preach in this anointing. Not a different message, but a freshness of the anointing that attended the original. In a Hindu temple for almost 45 minutes, my mouth was led by something supernatural to speak about Lord Jesus Christ. After I ended the sermon, I went behind the five elders of the temple. They scolded me like anything for what I preach. And I said unto them, "If you are hurt today, it's because I spoke the truth. Because it's the only truth that hurts." They asked me to leave the temple immediately. For the past 5 months, I've been facing much persecution due to this. In short, I contacted the pastor and asked him to lead me to Christ. And to my amazement, God has touched my family in such a short time too. My mother, my dad, and sister surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ, and we got baptized in water recently. Except for my youngest sister, who I need you to pray for. I want to share this. I didn't have to have physical miracle to receive Christ. But the Bible, which I testify as the Word of God, was a hammer so powerful and amazingly quick beyond imagination. Glory! Hallelujah. So we're not toying around with religious philosophy. This is not religious philosophy 101 you're attending. We're here to proclaim Jesus as Lord and a mighty Savior who came to this earth on a rescue mission and reported to the Father. It's accomplished. And what we're proclaiming to a lost and dying, deceived and damned world is that the price for your redemption is paid. The ransom is paid. The doors of your prison are open if you will walk out and go free in the name of Jesus. Come to Christ. Accept Him as your personal Savior. We preach a gospel that is attended by angels. We preach a gospel that is witnessed and anointed by the Holy Spirit Himself. We preach a gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for God so loved the world can penetrate the deepest darkness. John 3:16 can absolutely undo the nuts and bolts of the devil's systems. And that's why he fears the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. But he doesn't fear it if it's dead letter, only if it comes with power. It didn't come in word only, Sister Venable. It came in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give Him praise, and then we're going to have a prayer together. Let's give Him praise. Halaba Korsalama, number 9, yeah. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him today. There will be a service tonight. Rain will subside.
Lord, we just stand in awe of Your presence.
Thank You for coming in the rain. Give Him a hand clap of praise if you love Him. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. For just a moment, is there anyone here that doesn't know Christ? And again, the invitation is given. You can know Him. What you can't change about yourself, He'll change. You don't have to make a change. All you have to do is come. Hallelujah. Drink of the river of life freely. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. God challenges you to just come as you are. He'll do the work. He'll make the changes. He said, as it is written, I'll take away the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh, a heart that can know Him and walk with Him. He said, I'll write my laws upon your heart. You won't need the tablets anymore. This soft heart will allow me to write my laws upon it. Hela korsholamaniti. This awakened heart, this enlightened heart. Shilabakole Salamaniteta Shalamata Hilovokorobo Sandaramaniteti Andorabakole. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus. We thank you for the word of God, the power of God. Hallelujah. We thank you for what's going to happen in this place. The electrifying anointing of the Holy Ghost as Jesus is exalted in this place. We're not going to preach politics. We're not going to preach social reform. We're going to preach Christ and Him crucified. And we're going to preach Him raised from the dead. Hallelujah. And we believe the Holy Ghost is going to bear witness to this great truth, this ancient truth, this unchanging truth. We believe the lost will be saved. The sick will be healed. Hallelujah. The bound will be set free. The demon possessed will be delivered. We believe the strongholds of the enemy will be broken down and shattered in the name of Jesus. We're going to throw off the sheet. Hallelujah. And say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. In the name of Jesus. It's not too good to be true. It's so good it can't help but be true. Somebody just got healed in this audience. It just took all that you've been seeking. It just took just then. You felt in your body like the woman with the issue of blood. She felt in her body she was healed. Why? Because this gospel came with power. This gospel came, George, with power. This gospel was not word only. Thank God for great theologians and teachers, but it didn't come in word only. I said it did not come in word only. Peter said, we preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Hallelujah. Took more than a decree from a seminary to preach with the opposition of that day. You needed the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Shadabakidana. The God of Abraham and Jacob, Isaiah, Samson, and David, the God of Peter, James, and John, yea, this God is your God this day, saith God. I am ready to rend the heavens. I am ready to come down unto you and make my name known among the heathen. Are you ready to receive my visitation? Set yourself apart unto me. Consecrate yourself unto me. For tomorrow, yes, in your tomorrows, you shall see wonders, saith God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Sheda makoshite andorabokole. Nendoroboreshe tionde. Kalabasite andorabakite. Reshalabarite korobosa. Nandalabakite. Monde da barrocha da barite tionde la sholomba la rata nito robocose la matide ne sholabarite ye corobosata. I want you to marvel, saith God. I want you to sit stunned in wonder when I move. I want you to know the God you are praying to is the true and the living God. Yea, you accept it by faith, but you shall see the fruit of your faith, saith God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Netta da bacone, sitadana mari tetionde, brashalabari tetiote, metta da mare. Fear not the enemy, for he senses what's about to happen. Yea, saith God, fear not the enemy, for he will come forth and he will rage against thee. I say unto thee again, fear not the enemy, for I am thy shield and thy buckler, saith God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's join our hands and hearts and we'll believe Him to seal this service today. Let's walk in victory. Let's live in victory and bring honor to His name. Let's let Him distinguish Himself in our personal lives so that there's no contest as we represent Christianity in a pagan world and in a very, very deceived religious world. Let the God, the challenge is the same. Let the God that answers by fire be God. On the day of Pentecost, hallelujah, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost and flames of fire were seen upon their head. The Shekinah, the glory, the supernatural fire that lapped up the water around the sacrifice and then burned the sacrifice was seen upon men and women. Shalabakoshila, nitara mokole, nendadaba shalabaniti, bre shalabaki tadarama salabada, nendo rebahosata. Father, let revival fires begin to burn as we exalt the name of Jesus with new, reinvigorated faith in the power of this gospel. Hallelujah, to save others and to deliver us, your people. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. Go and eat the fat, drink the sweet, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah.